the globe. More real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome to the Freedom Above Fortune radio show, ladies and gentlemen. I am the agent for truth, Joe Bannister, your host. Happy Saturday morning to you. It's Saturday morning, December 18th, 2010, 1 week until Christmas Day. Freedom Above Fortune radio show comes to you courtesy of Frank Talk 104.3 FM, as well as worldwide on the internet, courtesy of Liberty Works Radio Network. Tell your friends they can listen to this great network and support it by visiting LWRN.net. That's the acronym for Liberty Works Radio Network that brings you programming you will not hear anywhere else. As always, I ask you to support Liberty Works Radio Network. You can visit LWRN.net and click on the Join Donate button. Given the many blessings God has bestowed on our country, I dedicate every show to our Father in Heaven. So I always start the show by praying as Jesus instructed us in Matthew chapter 6. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Well, our country is in deep trouble, and I urgently ask everyone to urgently pray for God's blessings on our country. And let's all redouble our efforts to obey His commandments, especially refraining from taking the Lord's name in vain. I invite you to join my email list by visiting my website at freedomabovefortune.com and clicking on mailing list on the left-hand side of the homepage. AgentForTruth.com also has some important information there. And always encourage my listeners to keep a paper and pen handy to copy down important information we like to give out. Callers are invited to join the show today with a question or comment by calling 410-848-9191. That's 410-848-9191. For those new to the show, I'm a former special agent with the Internal Revenue Service Criminal Investigation Division. I no longer work for the IRS because during the last 2 years of my service there, I performed an off-duty investigation into claims that the income tax laws did not actually require most Americans to file federal income tax returns and pay federal income tax, and that the IRS was actually deceiving the American public about their true income tax obligations. After gathering and analyzing a mountain of evidence, I concluded that these claims about the federal income tax system were largely true. And when I asked my IRS supervisors to discuss my conclusions with me, they not only refused to have any discussions with me whatsoever, but they also encouraged me to resign from the agency. My IRS career came to an end rather abruptly in 1999, way back in the last century, when I did resign from the Internal Revenue Service. And I've been speaking about my experiences and conclusions regarding the federal income tax and other liberty-related matters ever since. I'm featured in a film called America: Freedom to Fascism, and that film is available on the internet. It takes a provocative look at the Federal Reserve and federal income tax systems, and I highly recommend watching the film as soon as possible if you haven't already. If you already have, you probably have discovered that it's a great learning tool that you can spread to others. You can go to freedomtofascism.com or type in freedom to fascism into any search engine and watch it for free on the internet. Well, my guest for the first hour and maybe into the second hour, depending on his time availability, is attorney Larry Beecraft. Larry, are you with us this morning?
I'm here, Joe. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, doing great.
What are we going to talk about?
Well, I was hoping we could talk about that recent court decision about Obamacare that a federal judge considered parts of it to be unconstitutional. If you haven't actually read the decision, we could talk about the generalities of why Obamacare can't be required, inflicted upon each and every American. But did you happen to see that case?
I saw the news of it, Joe, and I'd like to have gone over on Pacer. I don't know the state that it's in. I don't know the names of the parties. Don't have a case number, so it's difficult to pull it up. You know, the only thing I have on the case relates to the news reports. But that doesn't mean, though, that we can't discuss it, because there's a lot of important issues, constitutional issues, that relate to the whole effort of the federal government to take over the entirety of health care.
Well, let's roll. What, you know, for the average listener who reads the newspaper and sees that, oh, no, you know, Obama's going to take care of my health care, or any president for that matter, I mean, what should they worry about, but also what should they educate themselves about in terms of the limitation of federal power in that area?
Well, your question gets back to dealing with the Constitution of the United States of America. You know, in 1787, it was drafted, and a couple of years later, it was in effect, 1789. Then we had the amendments, you know, the Bill of Rights posted to, you know, adopted and made a part of the Constitution. Now, the Constitution itself, you know, you got to remember the kind of the framework from which it arises. We had 13 states in existence at that time. They had operated for, you know, 5 or 6 years under the Articles of Confederation, which is really the first constitution in this country. The Articles of Confederation created a compact among the states. However, you know, the federal government didn't have a source of revenue. The Articles of Confederation just simply provided that, you know, Congress would ask the states for money to operate. And it really didn't have any powers. You know, it could sit there and make recommendations to the states, but nothing would, you know, there was no force behind it. So they assembled in Philadelphia in the summer of 1787 and spent 3 months drafting the United States Constitution. They proposed it, mailed it, well, I doubt it was mailed. They sent it to Congress in September of 1787, and it got ratified by the states by 1789, and a government of the United States was formed once the Constitution was ratified. Having said that, putting it into a, you know, kind of a timeline of time frame for you know, our discussion, the Constitution really is a surrender of certain powers of the state governments to a unified agent for all of the states. In Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, there's 17 specific powers that are granted from the states to the federal government. And those 17 specific powers, you know, include, you know, coin money and regulate the value thereof, engage in war, have an army and a navy, you know, regulate interstate commerce, and that's going to be an important part of our discussion regarding for this national health care bill. But, you know, those 17 powers that were delegated from the states surrendered those powers. They had, those were powers that they possessed at the time of the creation of the United States pursuant to the Constitution, and those are powers, some of those powers, you know, they still retain some authority regarding those matters, but some of the other powers, you know, like conducting international affairs or engaging in war, you know, no single state would have any residual power in that respect. But, you know, in reference to control over interstate commerce, you know, the question becomes, well, gee, what is interstate commerce and how far does it reach? But, you know, that was the purpose of the Constitution, was to create a more perfect union. And that was done by all of the states, the 13 states getting together and agreeing, yes, we're going to surrender to Uncle Sam these 17 specific powers, which included the power of taxation. And, you know, once the Constitution was ratified, you know, they assembled in Philadelphia and swore in, you know, a new Congress, and they picked a president. The first president was George Washington. And since that time, the federal government's been taking in revenue and passing laws. And incidentally, for those who want to learn something about the laws of the United States, you can go over to the Truth Attack website, and there's a law library there. And if you click on the law library, there's a subfile called Primary Sources. And you can click on that, and you can download on from that page. You can download all of the volumes of the United States statutes at large, which start in 1789, and each file is one complete volume of the laws of the United States. Now, you won't find by the time you get into the 1900s, you know, the early part of the 20th century, the everything that Congress was doing soon encompassed or required the printing of two volumes. Treaties and things like that, and private laws. Well, the only thing you'll find over on the Truth Attack website are just those volumes of the statutes at large that contain the actual laws of the United States. It doesn't contain the treaties. You know, the first, I think about the first 28 volumes, do include things like the private laws and the treaties. But after that, you know, when I was creating these files, I just said, forget the treaties and forget the private acts. You know, here, we're only concerned about the laws. So if you're interested in knowing something about the laws of the United States, you can download them, and they're in each file, which is one volume of the statutes at large, is word searchable. And so I would encourage people to do that. Now, moving in the direction of, and you know, there is somebody that I think would be real good at talking about the Constitution, and he's a cantankerous fellow from Shreveport, Louisiana, and it might be good if that dude called in, Mr. Tom Crier. He could probably add a whole lot to this discussion, Joe. So would you know if Mr. Crier would call in?
Well, that's only if he listens to my show, and I don't know if he... he's probably an early riser on Saturday morning.
Yeah, he is. He's always an early riser. Well, but let's move on. In reference to health care, you know, that is a power that is reserved to the states. The Supreme Court, in a number of cases, has come out and, you know, made a decision, particularly in reference to, you know, this issue came up when Congress, pursuant to its treaty powers, enacted treaties to regulate contraband drugs. And when I'm talking about contraband drugs, I'm talking about like cocaine and, you know, of course today marijuana and things of that nature, contraband drugs. When Congress exercised that power to regulate drugs, it imposed requirements on doctors. And so when some doctors got indicted for and convicted for violating some of these federal drug laws, you know, those issues went to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court said, of course, in those decisions, the Congress doesn't have the power to control the provision of medical care inside the states. Now, that's a firm constitutional principle. Now, let's move forward. In 1933, the international community was interested in establishing Social Security. You know, that was a matter of concern at the international level. So Congress came along in 1933 and enacted a law that was basically Social Security, and it applied to, companies that were involved in interstate commerce, primarily the railroads. So in 1934, there went to the Supreme Court the validity of this first Social Security Act that was connected to Congress's power to control interstate commerce. You know, the railroad companies had to pay a tax, and you know, there were benefits to the railroad workers. It was basically a Social Security scheme. And the Supreme Court came out in May of 1935 and said, hey, that is unconstitutional. You know, Congress using the power of interstate commerce to establish, you know, benefits for workers, you know, that was beyond the powers of Congress. Now, that decision came out in May of 1935. Within a mere 3 months, and there was no amendment to the United States Constitution in the interim, but 3 months after that decision, Congress comes out with the second Social Security Act. And, you know, I have a real problem with establishing a Social Security, having a scheme to control the health care in this country from a constitutional viewpoint, because you've got some real serious problems constitutionally. Number one, you have the
Larry, we got a break.
Okay.
We got a break, and by the way, Tom Cryer called in, so when
we come back,
we're gonna have two attorneys with us, both from the South, so that's better. This is Joe Bannister, Freedom Above Fortune radio show. Our guest is attorney Larry Beecraft, and we'll be right back.
Live is the morning program on the radio all over the country, the great WABC in New York and the Fox Business Network, and a new affiliate, WIFL 104.3, Frank Talk, 104.3, News, Sports, and More.
Glenn Beck, Frank Talk, 104.3, best-selling author, Mark Levin.
That's what we call crap. Get off the phone, you fake dope.
Frank Talk, 104, News, Sports, and More.
Ford of Ocala and Lincoln Mercury of Ocala holds a reputation for the most outstanding sales and service to their customers. This reputation was earned over the years by keeping their promises and taking care of people. It was true then, and it's true now. Ford of Ocala and Lincoln Mercury of Ocala pledges to ensure you the easiest and most satisfying vehicle purchase or service you'll ever experience while delivering the highest value for the money. Ford of Ocala and Lincoln Mercury of Ocala pledges to have access to over 850 new Fords and Lincoln Mercurys to provide a wide selection of new cars and trucks, which means large sales savings for their customers. Ford of Ocala and Lincoln Mercury of Ocala pledges to have you the lowest price and payment in writing guaranteed in 15 minutes or less. Visit their dealerships on Highway 441 in Ocala and Bellevue to see for yourself the distinctive advantage in making your next vehicle purchase from the dealership that pledges to ensure the best buying experience anywhere. You can also shop at home at fordofocala.com for selection and service specials that is constantly updated. Ford of Ocala and Lincoln Mercury of Ocala, where they pledge every day is a sale day and the traffic's not bad at all.
Where to go? The hot spot for all you'll ever need in Citrus County for designer clothing, shoes, handbags, jewelry, and home decor. With tons of stuff at 50% off. This is no joke.
Where to go? Do you know where to go? I know where to go to get the hottest, most current, up-to-date designer clothing, jewelry, shoes, handbags, and home decor. Where to go? Consignment and gifts. That's where you go. To where to go? Let's face it, clothes shopping can be a drag. I found the place where every time I walk in and pick out clothes, I go in the dressing room. I'm not kicking and screaming. I'm not struggling to zip up and button the clothes I've picked out that I fell in love with. They fit. They actually fit. Ladies, I'm telling you, Where to Go is the clothing consignment and gift shop you want to go to. That's right, Where to Go in the Times Square Plaza in Inverness off Highway 44. Kim and Maxine, they do know Where to Go consignment and gifts, Gulf to Lake Highway in the Times Square Plaza, Inverness. Call 352-344-9327. 352-344-9327.
Sick. Do you feel twisted up when you get your cell phone bill?
Not anymore.
Unlimited talk, internet, text, and the exclusive instant walkie-talkie feature from Boost Mobile for just $50 a month.
Only at Lakeview Cellular in the Hernando Shopping Plaza on Highway 200 and Route 41.
$50 a month with no hidden fees and no contracts, plus no credit checks.
Lakeview Cellular, the official home of Boost Mobile.
Boost Mobile works off the Nextel networks to provide you with the most comprehensive coverage at the best price on your monthly cell service. The all-new Lakeview Cellular in the Hernando Plaza in Hernando.
Or give them a call at 352-344-0100.
Come see us now. Pay your cell bill. Shop for a new phone. And now for only $40 a month, get unlimited internet service on your laptop or home PC with Lakeview Cellular's Virgin Mobile Internet Air Card.
Lakeview Cellular in the Hernando Shopping Plaza on Highway 200 and Route 41. Hernando. Call 352-344-0100. The official home of Boost Mobile.
With the national debt climbing to an estimated $11 trillion, the White House announced an emergency economic plan today, trading the national gold reserves for cash through precious metal buyers, cashforgold.com.
I got $583 from cashforgold.com.
As you know, we have these very large debts, and the fact is the gold reserves are just sitting there. This woman turned in her wedding ring from her first marriage and got money the next day. If it worked for her, it can work for the United States.
How much does the federal government expect to receive in exchange for all the gold? That the Treasury Department should have looked into competing cash companies like dollarsforgold.com.
The reality is we have over $1 trillion in economic stimulus packages
to pay
for it. We just need
need that cash now. The president agrees that this seems like a pretty good deal.
But is there a contingency plan if that proves not to be the case?
Well, yes, of course.
The cash received from the CashForGold.com plan is going to be supplemented by funding from the selling of White House furniture on Craigslist.org. Well,
that is correct. We've already sold a giant military map that we don't use very often.
Peeling back the layers every day with Frank Talk, 104, News, Sports, and More. The official home of Glenn Beck, Don Imus, Alex Jones, Mark Levin, and the hosts of Liberty Works Radio Network.
Did you know that no Christian church accepted contraception as morally permissible before 1930? Discover why and how to work with a woman's natural times of being fertile and infertile. Learn a 99% effective method of natural family planning in English or Spanish through classes or home study. Search for a class at the Couple to Couple League's website, ccli.org, or call 800-745-8252.
The only thing I like more than chocolate is free chocolate. Yeah, free chocolate. Life is sweet. At Dinellen Forest, Highway 41, across from the police department. For a limited time only, receive Harry London's Gourmet Chocolate. When you mention 104.3 FM, Dinellen Forest, fantastic flower arrangements at incredible prices. And now, free gourmet chocolate. Life is sweet. At Dinellen Forest, Highway 41. We're sweet on you because, you know, we make sense.
With purchase of equal or greater
amount. Frank Talk, 104.3 FM, the Mid-State News Talk and Sports Radio Station.
Now live from coast to coast and around the globe, more real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Freedom Above Fortune radio show. My name is Joe Bannister, your host, the Agent for Truth, agentfortruth.com, freedomabovefortune.com. Our guest is attorney Larry Beecraft, and then we come to find out that attorney Tom Cryer was monitoring the show, probably taking down notes to find material to give Larry a bad time about. Tom, are you there?
Yeah, right here, Joe. I couldn't help, you know, overhear that my name was being used and at my expense, you know.
What
cantankerous and I've been
That's
called
true.
A lot,
well, we're
I've been
gonna,
called a lot worse, and I am cantankerous
gonna,
at times, especially when it comes to my constitution and my guaranteed right to a limited federal, not national, republic, not democracy.
Well, Tom, we're going to ask you to hold your cantankerosity, and Larry was talking about the Social Security Acts in 33 and 34, and
yep.
You just chime in whenever you want, but we kind of interrupted Larry at the last break.
No, Larry, the reason why we need Mr. Cryer on here is because he's a good constitutional scholar. Let me just identify the cases that I was talking about, Joe, before the break. There's a case called Lender against United States, which is a 1925 case, wherein the Supreme Court, this is one of these criminal prosecutions for violating the federal drug laws. The Supreme Court said, obviously, direct control of medical practice in the states is beyond the power of the federal government. And you have cases like Lambert against Yellow Lee, which is a case the following year, United States against Constantine, a 1935 case, Duval against Board of Medical Examiners, which is a 1937 Arizona case. The Congress under the federal constitution has power to levy a tax upon narcotics in their sale, but the states have not delegated to the United States the power to regulate such sales and to punish, therefore, or to regulate the practice of medicine. And that, of course, is exactly what the Obamacare bill does. And then when you combine that with the case that I was talking about that dealt with the Social Security Act, that's a Railroad Retirement Board against Alton Railway, which is a 1935 case. It said, the catalog of means and actions which might be imposed upon an employer in any business tending to the satisfaction and comfort of his employees seems endless. Provision for free medical attendance and nursing, for clothing, for food, for housing, for the education of children, and 100 other matters might with equal propriety be proposed as tending to relieve the employee of mental strain and worry. Can it fairly be said that the power of Congress to regulate interstate commerce extends to the prescription of any or all of these things. It is not apparent that they are really and essentially related solely to the social welfare of the worker, and therefore remote from any regulation of Congress as such, commerce as such. We think the answer is plain. These matters obviously lie outside the orbit of congressional power. Now, those are real strong words, and those are some cases where the Supreme Court has, you know, made statements, you know, observed how the Constitution operates, and has essentially held that how in the world can Congress come along and establish a national health care program? Now, having said that, I think we need to get some comments from Mr. Cryer.
Well, you know, I agree 100% with that. But, you know, one of the things that you brought up, Larry, that piqued, you know, my, got my ears cocked up, you know, is that in a three-month period of time, Congress turned around and defied the constitutional, you know, statements and proclamations and holdings of Alton Railway and enacted another Social Security Act. Now, that Social Security Act was not slapped down. Now, what, you know, the really thing that makes you curious as to what happened that would turn the Supreme Court totally 180 degrees around in such a short period of time. I mean, it wasn't that there was time to change its composition. I mean, you didn't have eight of them die and eight more new justices step up onto the bench. What happened?
Are you asking who?
I'm asking anybody who wants to pipe it up and maybe explain that. I think it's important that people understand that, you know, the loss of control of the federal government is not limited to Congress. You know, all three branches have not only usurped and exceeded their authority and ignored their duty, but they even ignored their duty to remain independent and to restrain each other. And they've become twisted, and the three branches have twisted, gnarled, and merged together, and lines between them blurred so much that now we have one single mass that we're dealing with without any kind of restraint, without any kind of... And so that's why it's so important for the people, the fourth branch, and the only remaining separate branch that can constrain the other three, to stand up and take over, take control.
I think they're sitting on their couch because they see that the president is a constitutional law professor, and they mistakenly thought that he would be watching out for these kinds of things.
Yeah, and he's a Columbia graduate, but nobody remembers ever seeing him there. And he's, you know, and he was born in Hawaii. And I want to talk to you after the show, Joe, about some land just south of Last Isle in the Gulf, you know, that I want to sell you. Anybody else listening in? I've got lots of land down there south of Last Isle. It's you can get it at a heck of a bargain. Yeah.
But, we're all happy to show our birth certificate.
Because there's nothing south of Last Isle but Gulf. And and that's why they call it Last Isle. But the point that I think that is important to make is that people need to understand that in 35, that there was the Supreme Court was given what I call a spinectomy.
He packed the court.
Yeah, he threatened to pack. Matter of fact, he didn't even have to do it.
Yeah,
he threatened to do it. He threatened to add, because the Constitution does not state the number of justices that are on the Supreme Court. And so he could make it 15, or he could make it 21, and appoint as many Supreme Court justices as it took of his socialist ilk to undermine the Constitution. Now, the weakness and the real shame of this is that I would like to think that if I were sitting on that bench at the time and he told me that, I'd have told him to pack on, you son of a bitch. excuse my French, Joe, but these guys didn't want to share their power more than nine ways. As a matter of fact, if they could, they'd want it to be down to five, as long as they knew they were going to be in the five. They didn't want to be diluted anymore, and so they gave up the Constitution in just in order to preserve their one-ninth equity interest in the decisions made by the Supreme Court. And I found that I find that offensive. I find it an act of cowardice. I find it an act of treason and a lack of a willingness to stand up and do their duty. You know, these guys had made a sworn commitment the same way I have and the same way you have and the same way Larry has. And none of us would back off and say, well, for my personal interests, I'll just overlook something or two. But since then, we haven't had a Supreme Court. Now, people don't realize that they are the ultimate Supreme Court. You know, a lot of the things the Supreme Court does aren't listed in the Constitution among their powers. For example, the power to declare a law is unconstitutional isn't in there. Judicial review. There are other things that they do. But, you know, we do have that power. We can tell them, yeah, that's outside the line, put it back. That isn't yours, put it back. And slap them on the hand. Knock a few of them out of Congress. And, you know, we have that right. Every 24 months, we can change out the entire House of Representatives and a third of the Senate. What other country do the people have that kind of power? And yet we sit here with our remotes in hand and do nothing because we think that we are powerless, whenever we're probably the most powerful organization in the world, the people of the United States.
That's what's good. People that listen to Liberty Works, they can listen to, they can question, you know, whether or not the government can actually exercise this power and learn from learned gentlemen like yourselves that they may not have that power.
Well, they have that Constitution the same way that I do. They can read it. It's in English. It's not written in Greek or Latin or Aramaic. I mean, this isn't something that even required one generation of translation. And yet they don't bother to pick it up and look at it. One thing that Larry did touch on earlier that I wanted to kind of qualify, not correct, but qualify, he mentioned that the Articles of Confederation were, you know, the government that was functioning, but it wasn't a government. It had no authority to bind the states in a treaty. It had no authority to handle foreign relations that could commit any of the states. All of the states were freestanding countries. When we say state, most people today think in terms of a political subdivision of a national government. But the word state doesn't mean that. The word state means government or sovereignty. The state of Israel, what is the state of Israel a part of? What is it a subdivision of? Well, all of the other countries in the world are considered states. When you talk about the word state, you're talking about a sovereignty, a government. And there were 13 separate ones. And whenever they looked at things that they needed to move mutually on, that needed a unified voice, a unified actor, that's where they decide we need to create a federal agency government to do these things for us collectively. And in order to allow it to do that, because they couldn't have done it, as an assembly, the entire federal system consisted up until 1789 of the Continental Congress. There was no president, not really. They would elect the president of the Continental Congress, but there was no president of the United States. There was no judiciary. There were no laws. There were no federal laws. They didn't have the power to legislate. They could ask the states to do things. They could negotiate a treaty, like the Treaty of Paris, provided all of the states, all of the countries making up the colonies, the former colonies, consented to it, but it had absolutely none of the trappings of being a government. A better comparison, I think, would be NATO. You've got this board of generals that and these diplomats that governed NATO, which was a mutual defense alliance, and they commanded forces, and they developed strategies and war planning to defend against an invasion from Eastern Europe.
Tom, we got a break. I don't know if you can hear the music, but
yep, I hear it, and okay. I know that sound well.
All righty. Well, our guests are attorney Larry Beecraft and attorney Tom Cryer, one from Alabama, the other from Louisiana, and we're really happy to have them with us. This is Freedom Above Fortune radio show. I'm the Agent for Truth, Joe Bannister, agentfortruth.com. See you in a few minutes.
Fox News Radio. I'm Ron Flatter. The days appear to be numbered for the government's ban on openly gay service in the military.
It's one thing to volunteer to fight for your country. It's another to volunteer to fight for the right to fight for your country. Not many people do that. Not many people would go through the indignity and the abuse that they have had.
Democratic Congressman Barney Frank, himself openly gay, before the House voted this week to end the ban. Today, the Senate is expected to follow suit over Republican objections that this will create untimely distractions in the middle of two wars. A White House call to keep Russian weapons in check. President Obama today urging the Senate to pass a new START treaty.
Without a new treaty, we'll risk turning back the progress we've made in our relationship with Russia, which is essential to enforce strong sanctions against Iran, secure vulnerable nuclear materials from terrorists, and resupply our troops in Afghanistan.
The president in his weekly multimedia message, but Republicans who don't want more restrictions on the U.S. military appear to have the votes to block passage of the treaty today. Beating today's deadline, the Senate decides last night to pass the House's temporary spending plan to keep the government running at least another 4 days. This comes after a long-term trillion-dollar omnibus budget is rejected this week in the Senate.
This spending snowstorm was nearly 2,000 pages long. It combined 12 separate appropriation bills that were never debated or amended on the Senate floor.
Senator John Cornyn of Texas in the Republicans' weekly speech. Also due for consideration in the Senate today, the DREAM Act that would grant citizenship to thousands of qualifying but undocumented immigrants. Many proponents concede that they probably don't have the votes to pass it. The DREAM Act, however, was approved earlier this week by the House. Procedural votes are coming in a matter of maybe 2 hours. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
They're compelling true stories of real American heroes. I'm Oliver North. Now, just in time for Christmas, the full collection of the award-winning Fox News series War Stories on DVD. Choose from over 90 episodes that honor the brave men and women who have served our country and fought for our freedom. From World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today's heroes in Iraq and Afghanistan, these chronicles of courage make great Christmas gifts. Go to foxnews.com/warstories to get yours now.
Every day, more people wake up with America's number one morning news show. Breaking news you need to know, guests you have to see, and stories that have everyone talking. Steve, Brian, and Gretchen, the fair and balanced news team more Americans trust.
You get news like you don't see it on other channels. We have a conversation with America.
The difference with Fox and Friends is that we also bring you tons of fun, and you're just not going to find that anywhere else.
Weekdays, wake up to Friends. Wake up to Fox and Friends, only on Fox.
No ruling yet, but the disputed U.S. Senate race in Alaska has gone to the state Supreme Court.
Attorneys for GOP candidate Joe Miller told the justices that elections workers did not follow state law in considering which write-in ballots to count, that only those ballots where the candidate's name is written correctly should have counted. But lawyers for Lisa Murkowski, the incumbent who ran a write-in campaign and has already declared victory, say Miller's denying reality and that the math doesn't work in his favor anyway. An assistant attorney general called Miller's reading of the law absurdly strict, that voter intent had to be considered to reflect the will of the people. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News Radio.
European travel right now snarled by heavy snow. Airports in London are shut down, stranding this traveler more than 100 miles away in Bristol, England.
We were supposed to be going to London today to see my sister and her husband and their children, but there's no way we're going to get there now, so we've got to stay here, haven't we? I missed our Christmas lunch in London.
Delays and cancellations also in France, Germany, Holland, and Denmark. Even trains having trouble getting through the storm. Haugesund Airport on the west coast of Norway has also been closed, but not because of weather. A suspicious piece of luggage was left behind in one of the bathrooms in the gate area. It was discovered late last night. Bomb experts arriving from Oslo will investigate. Three words if you're on a diet. Don't log on.
Computers may be food for thought, but eating food at your computer should not be on your startup menu. People who eat lunch at the computer chow down twice as many snacks later on compared to those who don't. Some of this is about distraction. Forget what you're doing at one meal can lead to a hike in food intake later. But the research at the University of Bristol takes it one step further, suggesting an impact on memory. And that, they say, affects appetite. Bill Vitka, Fox News Radio.
Not a whole lot of movement yesterday on Wall Street. Stocks were mixed. Dow Industrials lost all of 7 points, but for the week gained 82 points. The S&P 500 reached another 2010 high. I'm Ron Flatter, Fox News Radio.
Frank Talk, 104.3 FM, the Mid-State News Talk and Sports Radio Station.
Now live from coast to coast and around the globe, more real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Above Fortune radio show. I am the Agent for Truth, Joe Bannister, your host, agentfortruth.com and freedomabovefortune.com. We have a two-for-one deal today. We had invited attorney Larry Beecraft to come on the show, and then attorney Tom Cryer from Louisiana, who's been a guest on the show in the past, was kind enough to come on as well. And Tom, before the break, we interrupted you. You were making a comparison of the states of the United States to the NATO arrangement. So please continue.
Well, you know, I just think that it's important that folks know that the purpose that the federal government was created was to serve as a federal agency for the states, not for the states to be political subdivisions of the federal government. And right now what's happened is that the servants have taken over the household, and they're terrorizing and dominating and intimidating the masters. And I'm part of that. I mean, you could look at it historically and explain it to some degree, and that by 1846, there were more states that thought that they owed their existence to the federal government than there were states to which the federal government thought that it owed its existence. But these states became full-blown states. They became fellow creators of the federal government upon statehood. They became independent sovereigns.
They were admitted to the Union on an equal footing with the other states.
That's exactly right. There was no distinction, Larry, was there?
Mm.
And I think that if people will stop and take a look at where their Constitution came from and why it was done, and then take a couple of steps back and look at it and as a big picture, you get a very really clear understanding. And quit looking at the phrases and the clauses. And look at the whole picture that the Constitution paints. And what you see is a picture that was envisioned by the Founding Fathers, and that was a federal government that took care of those very few limited things that required some uniformity or required concerted action, like a national defense, like foreign relations, like regulating foreign commerce, so that everything would be uniform throughout the country, relative to things outside the country, things in between the states, such as interstate commerce, things that were commonly held by the states, such as territories, and dealings with the tribes, which was another form of foreign relations. All of those are in there. Postage, postal service, because if you had 50 different post offices, and you imagine, the confusion that you'd have at every state line, where postal trucks having to stop at the line and offload and unload, that was something that needed to be on a national basis. Patents, so that you didn't have 50 different competing patents for an invention, because each state was bankruptcy, because you had debtors and creditors often across state lines, but you still have state respite available where you don't have interstate relations between creditors and debtors. You've got and dissolution proceedings in state. You've got these types of areas, copyright, monetary system, so that we've got a uniform and the same monetary system throughout all of the states, so that to facilitate commerce, make it a lot easier, because the problems were in some states, you'd have an exchange of a rate for currency for 50 states. Can you imagine what a nightmare that would cause? We have enough trouble getting people to figure out how many in Canadian. And these were things that they specified. But you notice that not one of them has anything to do with what people inside the states are doing. None of them. And whatever, now there are two exceptions to that. One is that they gave Congress the power to define the crime of counterfeiting and to punish it. And also for piracy on the high seas, and I swear I'm trying to quit both, doing my best. But
nothing about health care in there, huh?
Nothing about health care in there, nothing about agriculture, nothing about drugs, nothing about our food supply, nothing about education, nothing about the environment. You had 50 different environments. You think, you've been to Wyoming. What's it like compared to Louisiana or Florida? Nothing like that. Why would we need, we don't need one-size-fits-all environmental policies. We need environmental policies that are suited to the particular environment. But yet they've taken that over. Those are just examples. But none of what the powers that were given Congress involved reaching into the states and saying to the citizens of the states, hey, we're going to tell you how to do that. We're going to tell you what to do. We're going to tell you what not to do. They could go set up a post office, but they couldn't come out and tell you it was time for you to write mom. They could set up a patent office, but they couldn't go out and tell you we're requiring you to invent something or to write something, get a copyright on it. They could create a service and stand there, but the initiation of every contact with the federal government was always with the prerogative of the citizen. It was our decision to contact and to interact with it. It was never the right of the federal government to reach out and touch us. And that's why the income tax fraud was perpetrated, was because it reached out and didn't just put a hand on us, it put its talons in our backs. And that's what's got people afraid to stand up to the federal government right now.
Now, do you could either of you comment on, are there these typical incentives or strings attached relating to this health care bill where they will entice you, kind of like the highway funds or the federal funding of education, where they'll say, well, we've got, this $1 billion we want to give you. You just have to follow these 20 prescriptions, these 20 points that we want you to do relating to textbooks and, class content, things like that. Do you know of any similar provisions in the healthcare bill to basically bribe people into accepting federal control over their healthcare?
Well, Joe, can I answer that in this fashion? During
Please.
The course of this program, I have been getting out on the internet, doing some searches, and I finally, even though I didn't have last night when I was looking for the names of the parties, I was able to locate an article that had the opinion linked in it. And right now, as we speak, I am emailing that opinion to both you and Tom. I have had the opportunity to glance through it, and it focuses in on the power of Congress to compel people to buy health insurance. That's what the decision is about, the constitutionality of that single provision. I think that's Section 1501 of the health care bill. And Hudson, addresses the power of Congress to come along and compel somebody that's in a state to, under threats by force them to, if they're not buying insurance, to force them to buy insurance. And that's the part of the opinion and the health care bill that is addressed in that opinion, and he holds it to be unconstitutional, which I think is the correct conclusion.
So does he mention some of the cases that you mentioned earlier in the show?
No, I haven't had a chance to look through that, but during the break I will.
I see.
So it just went to both you and Tom, so you can take a look at it. But then, you know, I think that's an absolutely correct decision. You know, when you sit down and take a look at the jurisprudence over the reach of Congress's power to regulate interstate commerce, you know, the issue, the focal point here in the national health care bill that people have been, you know, addressing. The critical component is a compulsion for everybody in the states to participate in a program, a mandatory program, forcing them to buy insurance. And so the issue is that within the scope of Congress's power? How in the world, you know, if they can sit there and say, well, you got to buy insurance, they can compel you to buy anything and everything.
Well, I'd like to make an observation, and it dovetails off what both of you have said here before, that it just drives me crazy that these Congress people would go through this entire exercise and never question, at least not publicly, whether any of these requirements are constitutional. And it just goes to show how spineless they are, that they're just, I don't know, they're either wanting to do further their own agenda or further the agenda of their constituents, who are just as ignorant about, you know, the ranges of federal power. And we end up having this huge monstrosity of a bill, of a law, and then we have to wait until hopefully federal judges will slowly, you know, pick it apart and say, wait a second, we've got this whole line of Supreme Court cases, you know, in the early 1900s that say quite clearly the federal government doesn't have this power. I mean, think of the time and effort that is wasted when, you know, but I think it comes back to what Tom was saying before. Each and every one of us Americans has to be educated and informed about what our government's powers are. And if we don't stand up and say, wait a second, and we don't tell our Congress people in the first place, that they're going to do what they've been doing, which is to just run roughshod over the Constitution and, you know, wipe our rear ends for us and every other thing, because they don't think there are any limitations of the Constitution.
Well, you have few congressmen like Ron Paul. Ron Paul is
one of the
congressmen that come along and make those challenges. But
we have a few more to join him now, Larry.
Yeah, he's had his doctor son become a member of the Senate.
And a few you know, there were 93 in the freshman class coming in January. 93 congressmen. You know, there are something like 16 freshman senators, but 93 freshman congressmen coming in, and a lot of those are congressmen who ran on the same principles that Ron Paul has been telling us for years to wake up to, you know. He's not going to be alone. That's what's going to make him such a dangerous force on the Monetary Policy Subcommittee of the Congressional Financial Services Committee. I see some things happening, or at least having the potential to happen, unless Ron had to make a deal to get a piece of it rather than none of it, because Boehner was dead set on preventing his assuming the chair, even though he was in line and entitled to it.
Yeah, it sounded like Ron wasn't going to get it, and then all of a sudden he got it. So, yeah, there must have been something going on behind the scenes.
Well, I took a look, Joe, at one of the ways that politically what you do is if you've got a committee that you're worried about the people on it, you strip the committee. You can't keep them off. So you strip the committee of its authority, and so I expected to see that the jurisdiction of that Monetary Policy Committee was going to be stripped of anything having to do with the Fed. I don't know why you can still call it a Monetary Policy Subcommittee, but none of the jurisdictional scope of that subcommittee was tampered with. I know we're kind of getting a feel, but people, I think also benefit from knowing how things are done under the table in Washington, so that they can recognize it when they see it, and they know to look. I looked under the table because I assumed that since he got the appointment, there was something else. Well, there's only one other possibility, and that is that Ron struck a compromise and said, okay, I'll leave this alone and this alone, but I want to be able to do this, this, and this. Well, getting some of everything is a hell of a lot better than 100% of nothing.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. Can either of you join us into the second hour? Because I certainly want to also talk about income tax, mythology, and other good things.
Joe, I'll stay on for another hour.
You can?
Yeah.
Okay.
However long you can stand me. You just unplug me when you get sick of it.
All right. The 2-for-1 deal continues in the next hour. FreedomAboveFortune.com, AgentForTruth.com. See you on the other side.
Ford of Ocala and Lincoln Mercury of Ocala holds a reputation for the most outstanding sales and service to their customers. This reputation was earned over the years by keeping their promises and taking care of people. It was true then, and it's true now. True now. Ford of Ocala and Lincoln Mercury of Ocala pledges to ensure you the easiest and most satisfying vehicle purchase or service you'll ever experience while delivering the highest value for the money. Ford of Ocala and Lincoln Mercury of Ocala pledges to have access to over 850 new Fords and Lincoln Mercurys to provide a wide selection of new cars and trucks, which means large savings for their customers. Ford of Ocala and Lincoln Mercury of Ocala pledges to have you the lowest price and payment in writing guaranteed in 15 minutes or less. Visit their dealerships on Highway 441 in Ocala and Bellevue to see for yourself the distinctive advantage in making your next vehicle purchase from the dealership that pledges to ensure the best buying experience anywhere. You can also shop at home at FordOfOcala.com for selection and service specials that is constantly updated. Ford of Ocala and Lincoln Mercury of Ocala, where they pledge every day is a sale day and the traffic's not bad at all.
God, Guts, and Guns made America free. And here at Gold Diggers and Gunslingers, we know how important it is to keep all three. Now, we know you got your God and guts, but we can help you with the guns. Lots of guns. Any kind of gun you want, or need, or desire. Small guns, big guns, pistols, rifles, shotguns. Guns for self-defense, guns to hunt with, guns to target shoot with. We've got the guns, lots of guns. Pre-owned guns, brand new guns. Semi-automatic, single shot, from .38 special to .50 caliber guns. We got the guns at Gold Diggers and Gunslingers. At great prices, discounted prices. You're not going to beat these prices anywhere. At Gold Diggers and Gunslingers in Inverness. Oh, and don't forget the ammo. We got lots of ammo. We'll keep you in ammo. Ammo for all your guns. Load up. It's hunting season. We got your hunting guns. It's on sale now. Gold Diggers and Gunslingers. Right next to Sherwin-Williams. Gulf to Lake Highway, Inverness. And we salute you. God bless America.
Plantation Golf Resort and Spa. Fort Island Trail and Crystal River invite you to join them for a great time anytime. At the Plantation Lounge, it's Monday Night Football with happy hour throughout the game and fantastic food specials. The Plantation Golf Resort and Spa want you to enjoy happy hour 7 days a week from 5 to 7 p.m. featuring 2-for-1 Wells, domestic draft beer, and 2-for-1 house wines. That's right, 2-for-1, 7 days a week, 5 to 7 p.m. And don't forget Friday nights at the Plantation Golf Resort and Spa. We specialize in seafood with delicious, fresh, live Maine lobster. I can taste that lobster dipped in drawn butter right now. On Sundays, you'll love the Plantation's new expanded brunch from 11:30 to 2 p.m. with live piano entertainment. Reservations are not necessary but are suggested by calling 352-795-4211. Great things are happening at the Plantation Golf Resort and Spa, just off Highway 19 in Crystal River. Call them at 352-795-4211. The Plantation Golf Resort and Spa, Four Island Trail. A great place anytime, just off Highway 19 in Crystal River. 352-795-4211.
Going out of business? Look at the appliance store sign.
They're going out of business.
Now, listen, I'm not laughing at the fact that they're going out of business, but at least now they're advertising. Well, maybe if they had a clue and advertised earlier, they wouldn't be going out of business. Their sign would be reading, "Thank you for making us a success sale." Don't wait until you're ready to advertise your business going out of business. Let everyone know who you are, where you are, and what you offer. Call Great Savings Magazine now for a great deal on reaching thousands of potential customers. Call Lance now at Great Savings Magazine. 352-586-8926. 352-586-8926. For Great Savings Magazine. And we'll do our best to make sure that your next advertisement doesn't read "going out of business." Check your mail for money-saving coupons. 352-586-8926. Great Savings Magazine, where you always find great savings.
Our life-sustaining star. The sun is now entering into a phase of increased solar activity. Those solar flares cause a thickening of our ozone layer, which at times causes radio signals to literally bounce off the layer and travel hundreds and sometimes thousands of miles from its local location. These occurrences are normal as our sun enters into the peak of the 11-year sunspot cycle in 2010. The results of this increased solar flare activity may cause power outages, cell phone dropouts, and radio and television station interference. So if you're listening to your local radio station and you hear another radio station on that same channel, just take comfort in knowing that more than likely it'll only last for several minutes. Just a friendly reminder from the fine folks from planet Earth, three clicks from the sun, in the Milky Way galaxy. Oh, and us here at Frank Talk 104.3 too. Now go have some fun.
The viewpoints expressed on Liberty Works Radio Network are not necessarily those of the network, its affiliates, or sponsors. This is Liberty Works Radio Network. Now live from coast to coast and around the globe. More real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Above Fortune radio show, freedomabovefortune.com and agentfortruth.com. My name is Joe Bannister, the Agent for Truth, your host, and we have a two-for-one deal today, as I mentioned in the last hour. We had invited attorney Larry Beecraft to come on the show and talk about the Obamacare monstrosity and how recently a federal judge had declared parts of it unconstitutional. And then we come to find out that Tom Crier, an attorney from Shreveport, Louisiana, was listening, and Tom has joined us, so that's why we have a two-for-one deal. So, gentlemen, any other thoughts on Obamacare or the constitutional limitations relating to that, or shall we jump into Larry's favorite topic, destroying these income tax mythology arguments?
If we can, Joe, before we shift over, I need to make a qualification. During the break, I was informed that I had made a statement to the effect that Ron Paul is dangerous in that position on the chair, and I didn't want that to be mistaken as being that, you know, he's to be regarded with some fear or trepidation by the public. What I meant was is that he should be the cause concern. I certainly hope the cause for concern by the evildoers in Washington, D.C., not the least of which is the Wicked Witch herself, the Federal Reserve.
I thought you were about ready to cuss and say something like Nancy Pelosi.
Oh, I don't say Pelosi on this show or any other show. I call her the pee woman because I don't want to scare children. You know, if, can you imagine? Oh, I can't tell that joke all day, or can I, Larry, about the guy on the deserted island and she wanders up?
No. Right? I don't think that's this is.
No, I don't think the Joe was
family show.
Okay. So,
hey, can I interrupt? I've had the opportunity, Joe, to look over this decision from Henry Hudson, former head of the DEA. That ultimately, he used to be a U.S. attorney. Then he became head of the DEA, and then, you know, now he's a judge. He had this case of the state of Virginia sued to challenge the constitutionality of Obamacare,
It's a 42-page decision. I downloaded it during the course of the program, and while Mr. Cryer has been talking, I've been reading some of the opinion. Here's what he focuses in on. There's this case, Lopez. It went to the Supreme Court back in the 90s. It dealt with the possession of firearms within a certain distance of the school. And the Supreme Court held, you know, gee, you can't, that's unconstitutional. That exceeds the interstate commerce powers of Congress. Then there was this another case, the Morrison case, which dealt with the Violence Against Women Act. And the Supreme Court there held it to be unconstitutional, that particular act. So Hudson comes along in this decision and says, you know, that when you make a decision not to purchase health care, that's a decision that is beyond the powers of Congress. You know, that's a decision that an individual can make, and the commerce power only extends to activities. And a non-activity, like, you know, not purchasing health care, Congress doesn't have any power to control that. And so that's the guts of the health care law. And
do you think by him using, like, the Lopez case or the Morrison case, that should this get up to the Supreme Court, those are recent cases, and the Supreme Court will say, well, surely.
Yeah, there's a number of decisions, and it'll be time for the Supreme Court to, I would presume, since this is a final decision, you know, the Secretary of it's Sebelius that is one of the defendants here. Let me look at it. I didn't know. Yeah, it's Kathleen Sebelius, Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services. She was the defendant in this case. The plaintiff was the Commonwealth of Virginia. And that case will undoubtedly, since an order was probably entered this week, you know, making this case final, the next step would be to go to the Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit. You know, this case was filed in Richmond, and the Fourth Circuit sits in Richmond, so it's just right upstairs. I've been in that courthouse. And so it'll go upstairs to the Fourth Circuit, but then a decision may be made by the Supreme Court. You know, one of the parties can come along and say, hey, this is a real important issue, bypass the Court of Appeals and go straight to the Supreme Court. That's what this decision is probably going to, you know, that's the review of this decision is probably going to take that course of action, unless the Supreme Court wants to let the Fourth Circuit decide this issue.
I see. Well, I'll let my listeners know that at agentfortruth.com we'll try to get that this decision up on the website so that you
it's
can get
it's been emailed
some...
to you.
Yes.
You already have it, Joe.
That. Yes, I got that. So we're going to go ahead and share that with anyone that can go visit Agent for Truth later on today. Meanwhile, Tom, unless you have any other comments about the health care, I'd love for Larry to launch on some of these arguments that are getting a lot of people in trouble.
The only thing I would add to that is that, you know, in this case, with the Hudson decision on this, that the government relied heavily on a couple of cases, Gonzalez and Wickard, and I'll tell you, Wickard is a demonstration of just how spineless, you know, the Supreme Court has been rendered by the simple threat of packing the court. And I think, Larry, you probably comment better than I can on Wickard.
Wickard involved a farmer that was merely growing crops on his own farm for his own consumption. And there was a law that Congress passed to regulate the growing of wheat. And so the issue that went to the Supreme Court is the reach and scope of Congress's interstate commerce power. And the Supreme Court in the Wickard case held that, you know, they could regulate the farmer who was growing wheat just for his own consumption. You know, my view is that is an aberration of the, you know, real scope of the Interstate Commerce Clause. And Wickard's just an opinion that I absolutely abhor, but nonetheless, it's there. Yeah. So you have to deal with it. One of the ways that people are dealing with it is to take into consideration later acts of Congress that the Supreme Court's declared to be unconstitutional, like the Lopez decision and like the Violence Against Women Act. So those other cases come along, and you know, it's almost like in reference to interstate commerce jurisprudence from the Supreme Court. You know, not that I necessarily like every opinion of the court, There's a lot of things I disagree with personally. But, you know, when you're coming into their courts and making challenges, you know, you've got to use the cases of the Supreme Court to build your argument that it's something unconstitutional. And that was done here with this health care bill. You know, one of the problems with the health care bill is when you take a look at it initially, you know, when it was first proposed, you know, it consisted of the language of the bill, you know, read something like this, you know, section so-and-so of this bill, this law right here is amended to read as follows. And unless you sat down and went through the process of amending this provision, amending that provision to see what it ultimately read like, you know, it was real difficult to just read the bill itself and say, oh, here's where, you know, Congress has come along and exceeding its powers. That bill was real difficult to, you know, analyze from that viewpoint, just from the bill itself.
Not only that, Larry, but the bill was actually bifurcated because much of the health care bill was incorporated in TARP, you know, in a stimulus package. For example, the creation of the commission, and I'm going to get the name wrong, but the title, the meaning of it is going to be correct. I can't recall exactly what the name was. But it created and funded a commission for the efficient distribution of health care. Now, this group is responsible, and they already were in existence before they were appointed, they were funded, they were up and operating, and they were conducting and making their guidelines and their procedural approval considerations. What they do is they set up a database, and their job is that when somebody comes into an emergency room and presents with an injury or an illness, the emergency room physician is only allowed to make a diagnosis. At that particular point, the diagnosis and the data on the patient, his age, his social security number, where they can look at it, how economically productive has he been for us, how old is he, what are the actuaries on him, so that, because all these are factored in to what procedures are going to be approved. And then some idiot in an office cubicle somewhere pulls that up, compares it to the guidelines, and then sends a message back, an email back to the treating physician saying you are permitted to perform this procedure. You can stitch him up, you can set the bone, or you can't. If somebody 89 years old comes in with a heart attack or a stroke, they're going to tell him, no, you can't treat this guy at all. Or you're going to treat him this way, which wouldn't be necessarily what the physician's judgment would have been, who's on the scene. And if a physician fails to use that procedure instead of one in his own judgment that he thinks is best, he can be fined up to $100,000. If he does it a second time, he can be put in prison. Now, this is...
Sounds like the income tax.
This is the kind of stuff that is separated. It does. They you know how they threaten the employer, intimidate the employer into taking the money, even though there's nothing that says that the employee's liable for the tax. But once they get the money and it's kidnapped, then they've got a hold on the employee. And so they go to the physician and they say, we're going to control you. And it's all going to be based on, you know, and Larry, you and I are both, I know you hate when I say this, but you and I are both now over 60 years old.
Quit saying those things.
Well, we walk into an emergency room and they said, now, how old are you? And they calculated up our actuary and how many dollars are we worth to them over the rest of our work lifespan. And they say, you do like Kool-Aid, don't you? What color you like? What flavor of Kool-Aid's your favorite?
That's how it's going to be.
Yep.
Well, I just don't want you drinking any Kool-Aid. You guys need to stick around for a long time.
Well, there's going to be some Kool-Aid involved in this health care plan, folks, because you're going to have an end-of-life doctor appointed for every hospital. There's going to be an end-of-life board set up for every area. And they're going to determine you've reached the end of your life.
They may not be ready, but they've made the determination.
Well, once you get past this big 6-0, when this thing kicks in, Larry and I are going to have to start going to annual counseling on end-of-life counseling, in which we're supposed to be educated on what a burden we are on society and on our children and our grandchildren, and that this is the kind of thing, the indoctrination that's going to be going in and making people think that they're doing the right thing by laying down and curling up and dying.
Next topic of discussion.
Yeah, let's fill the listeners' ears on some things, that some buzzwords and some positions that they may hear people tout as a one-stop shop way to get the IRS off their backs, that does exactly the opposite. And I've heard Larry rail about these topics, and I don't blame him one bit, because it just kicks you in the gut when you hear about good people who were lied to about how to deal with the IRS, how to deal with the income tax. And there's a series of, there's like a cast of characters, right, Larry? I mean, some certain things that are really out there, heard of quite commonly in the public. And so can we go through those, and so people can, actually, break's coming up, but when we come back, Larry and Tom are going to go through some of the more well-known arguments that just get people in a heap of trouble. So this is the Agent for Truth, Joe Bannister, josephbannister.com, agentfortruth.com. We'll be right back with our guests, Larry P. Craft and Tom Cryer. Thanks for joining us.
Ford of Ocala and Lincoln Mercury of Ocala holds a reputation for the most outstanding sales and service to their customers. This reputation was earned over the years by keeping their promises and taking care of people. It was true then, and it's true now. Ford of Ocala and Lincoln Mercury of Ocala pledges to ensure you the easiest and most satisfying vehicle purchase or service you'll ever experience while delivering the highest value for the money. Ford of Ocala and Lincoln Mercury of Ocala pledges to have access to over 850 new Fords and Lincoln Mercurys to provide a wide selection of new cars and trucks, which means large savings for their customers. Ford of Ocala and Lincoln Mercury of Ocala pledges to have you the lowest price and payment in writing guaranteed in 15 minutes or less. Visit their dealerships on Highway 441 in Ocala and Bellevue to see for yourself the distinctive advantage in making your next vehicle purchase from the dealership that pledges to ensure the best buying experience anywhere. You can also shop at home at fordofocala.com for selection and service specials that is constantly updated. Ford of Ocala and Lincoln Mercury of Ocala, where they pledge every day is a sale day and the traffic's not bad at all.
Remember the good old days when you go to the neighborhood butcher, he'd cut the meat fresh, right on the slab. You'd ask him for a steak cut a special way, he'd cut it. You're looking for some homemade sausage, and you'd get it. Chopped meat, right out of the grinder. Well, Bellevue Meats is the place to go. Their number is 347-2102. They're located in Bellevue, right on 441. For meat the old-fashioned way, Bellevue Meats.
When we think of the word den, automatically you see a cozy room familiar to you, welcoming a safe place, like home or maybe a lion's den, a protected place. Familiar, comfortable, just like the insurance den. Get to know the friendly folks at the den, the insurance den. Let the trusted professionals at the insurance den shop the best and most affordable deal for you to fill all of your insurance needs, from homeowners to boating, flood, and all of your business concerns, including full umbrella coverage protection. Once you become part of the den, you'll have comfort in knowing that you are fully protected with the most reputable companies and hands-on service from the insurance den. Don't renew your old policy until you contact the den, the insurance den. Chances are we'll find you savings the others have missed. Call the insurance den now, 352-628-2331. That's 352-628-2331. InsuranceDenOnline.com.
Husbands, have you ever worried about the risks to your wife's health from the birth control method she's using? Why not learn a natural method that's 99% effective and has no risks to her? You can learn natural family planning in English or Spanish through classes or home study. Search for a class at the Couple to Couple League's website at ccli.org or call 800-745-8255.
8252.
The only thing I like more than chocolate is free chocolate. Yeah, free chocolate. Life is sweet. At Donnell and Forest, Highway 41, across from the police department. For a limited time only, receive Harry London's gourmet chocolate. When you mention 104.3 FM, Donnell and Forest. Fantastic flower arrangements at incredible prices. And now, free gourmet chocolate. Life is sweet. At Donnell and Forest, Highway 41. We're sweet on you because, you know, we make sense.
With purchase of equal or greater value.
Peeling back the layers every day with Frank Talk. 104, news, sports, and more.
Anticipation for the upcoming, we have some breaking news. The White House is scrambling to do damage control after the president was caught lip-syncing a speech at the...
Providing quality, affordable health insurance in this country. Our health care system that's sucking up all the money.
It was too bad because it happened right before he got to the part about how the power for change rests with every American. That's always my favorite part.
It's like, he's just gotten too big, and this just shows that. You know? I mean, he hasn't really done anything good anyway.
The White House seemed to bungle their official response and released a statement claiming the incident was caused by a feedback problem that made it appear that the president's voice was out of time with the movement of his lips. German Chancellor Angela Merkel called Obama's performance disappointing. Network investigation uncovered an exclusive video which appears to show President Obama speaking without pre-recorded audio.
Now, some graduating classes have marched into this stadium in easy times, times of peace and stability. When we call on our graduates, simply to screw it up.
Peeling back the layers every day with Frank Talk. 104, news, sports, and more. The official home of Glenn Beck.
Frank Talk, 104.3 FM. The Mid-State News Talk and Sports Radio Station.
Now live from coast to coast and around the globe, more real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Above Fortune radio show. I am the Agent for Truth, Joe Bannister, agentfortruth.com. We have the two-for-one deal going on in the second hour as well. I guess two two-for-ones. So we have both attorneys for both hours, attorney Larry Beecraft from Alabama and attorney Tom Cryer from Louisiana. And quickly, Tom's organization, Truth Attack, you've got to check out this website, truthattack.org, O-R-G. And Larry Beecraft, type in Beecraft Briefs into a search engine like Google or Start Page, or you can go to agentfortruth.com, and both those websites are linked at my website. So, Larry, please launch in terms of the issues and arguments that people need to watch out and run from.
Joe, we have some very important issues that confront the American people. Two issues that I think are critically important are the tax system and the monetary system. You know, those are machines that are set up, you know, my personal opinion, to fleece the American people. Now, a lot of people are, you know, their lives are being disturbed by what's going on, you know, here in America. People are losing their jobs. People are being attacked by government agencies. You know, there's just a lot of problems that are going on. So these people are out there looking for answers. And it's real important that the people that are looking for answers, you know, if you're just somebody that's just got a problem and won't try to solve that problem, or if you're actually interested in, you know, what's going on in America and trying to bring about positive, beneficial change for the American people, you know, you got to know something, a little something about law. But rather than focusing in on the real issues, what I have found is that perpetually, you know, the freedom movement has been plagued by a bunch of people out there that are doing and advocating a lot of wild things. Here's an example of one. There's a guy by the name of Dave Miller. Only recently have I, you know, tried to, you know, the name came up. Somebody sent me an email about Dave Miller. I said, oh, well, I'll go look at his website. And you go over to his website, and the guy is basically a lunatic. You know, there's a certain way you got to talk. And, you know, if you're certain, if you file your pleadings in some kind of type of case, you know, and you're always using his terminology, you know, you'll win. You know, that's what he advocates. And, of course, he runs around the country, you know, trying to educate people about this. You know, years ago when I ran across him, he said that if you download his book off the Internet, it'll burn up your hard drive. You know, he made claims that, you know, he, you know, set up trusts for all the big important people across the world, and he was a billionaire, you know. The guy's just a basic lunatic. you know, there's a lot of people out there that are, you know, coming along and promoting arguments that, number one, they don't address the real issues. And that makes me incredibly suspicious for somebody that's coming along and, you know, here we got these clear and identifiable, clear and present dangers for the American people, and we have somebody out here that's just leading people down the primrose path. And I've seen a whole bunch of that activity. One of the things I'd like to note right now is a popular argument that is floating around in freedom circles is this idea about admiralty. You know, there are people that are out there making arguments that, gee, you know, the courts are really admiralty courts, and, you know, that's the source of all of our legal problems. Well, that's the most ludicrous idea that you can dream up. I listened to an internet radio program somewhere within the last 10 days, and there was this Dr. Rowan that was a guest on this particular show, and he was talking about a book that he's written, and he's out in the freedom movement community and, you know, telling people, this is my argument. You know, it's just perfect. You know, all the law supports it. His idea is that, you know, everything is admiralty, and he draws analogies with, you know, just driving down the street. We drive on rivers of tar, and we encounter traffic islands, and trucks pull up to loading docks. He said all of these terms are just directly connected to the admiralty. And so he builds this argument that everything is admiralty, and from that, he also says, you know, that our monetary system is admiralty-based. And so when you go in and buy something, if you exchange Federal Reserve notes, let's say $500 in Federal Reserve notes for a TV, that somehow, some way, the people that really issue all of this currency, they obtain a lien on what you bought. And therefore, they own it all. Now, that is preposterous. You know, there's no law that supports this, even though there's somebody out there, you know, loudly proclaiming, gee, I have solved the riddle of, you know, the problems that confront America. Mr. Cryer, I want to ask you this question. Is it true that all litigation is admiralty-based?
Of course not. Only admiralty litigation is admiralty-based. You know, that's like saying, is it true that all litigation is criminal-based? No, only criminal litigation is criminal based. You know, it just it's ludicrous, and I'll spare you my ludicrous story, but it's ludicrous. You know, to suggest that obviously admiralty has to do with maritime issues,
right? And maritime is commerce, you know, involving ships on the high seas and the navigable rivers here in our country. Over in England, it's just simply the high seas, and primarily because they don't have a whole lot of long rivers. But here in this country, we got some long rivers. You got the Mississippi River, Tennessee River, Ohio River, you know, just a whole bunch of long rivers. We have the Red River.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the Red River?
Well, Red River happens to go right through the middle of Shreveport, or right along between Shreveport and Bossier City. Between Caddo Parish and Bossier Parish. We have parishes, not counties. And, you know, the Red River is navigable. We get barges up here. You know, they put in a bunch of locks and made it navigable once again. And we get barges and vessels up here. But they never do crawl up on the shore. They never do go down these tar rivers. They never do navigate up to the loading docks behind, you know, Walmart.
Well, can I ask this question then? You have barges parked along the river that have been turned into gambling casinos.
Yeah, we do. We've got five riverboats that are docked in Shreveport and Bossier that carry on. Well, gambling is against the law in Louisiana. They game. This is gaming.
Oh, okay. Gaming. So, if a patron in a gambling patron or a gaming patron in Shreveport comes up and parks his car in the parking lot, then walks into that building. You know, maybe he might even sit down and have a burger before he goes up to start his gambling. But then he walks up this long plank. Will he be moving from state jurisdiction into an admiralty jurisdiction if he goes on goes onto the barge and starts gambling?
No, the Red River is within the sovereignty of the state of Louisiana. The state of Louisiana, because it's a navigable body, owns the riverbed, it's governed by Louisiana law. Admiralty, if you got into one of these steamboats, or not their steam, not steam, they're diesel, but these paddle wheel boats, the river boats, and you went down the Red River and tied in and went through the lock in the Mississippi, and then went on out to Mississippi to the Gulf, and you got out to the high seas, then you'd be talking about an admiralty situation.
Well, if somebody, let's say that they get on a boat in New Orleans, like the Delta Queen, Queen's going to go back into service, I hope.
Right. Well, I'd love to see it happen, but I don't think it's going to be.
Well, let's presume that the Delta Queen is plying the Mississippi, and somehow, some way, it rolls up to the dock there in Shreveport, and a passenger gets off the Delta Queen and walks into the Terra Firma in downtown Shreveport. Surely that's admiralty, isn't it?
Nope. Still, he's on a state-owned riverway. He is still on the state-regulated navigable waterways of the state of Louisiana. And once he hits Terra Firma, even the crew members, once they hit Terra Firma, are no longer covered by the rules of the waterways. You get special laws, as you're aware, for crew members of vessels that apply regarding injuries and whatnot that they might sustain. You have laws governing seaworthiness. Now, I suppose now that since we have to get inspection stickers for our cars, I guess those are certificates of seaworthiness, right?
So, Larry, you're basically pointing out that, here we're going into even where there is actually water, these bodies of water, and still no admiralty connection.
Well, the cases hold, Joe, and I've got a page on my website devoted to this issue. The history behind the admiralty and maritime jurisdiction is all the high seas. From England, it was just the high seas. Of course, when we came along and created the United States, we, pursuant to the Constitution, we delegated control over admiralty matters, to the federal courts. And, maritime matters, admiralty jurisdiction, that's just a common law, and not in the sense of the common law here in our country, but in the sense of, common, like universal. You have to have a law that applies to the sea, because there's a whole lot of nations that engage in maritime commerce. So there's a body of law out there, we call it, admiralty, that controls the commerce on the high seas, and it has uniform rules across the world. But the cases say that admiralty jurisdiction, I like to use this example. The Supreme Court has had two similar cases. Here's a dividing line over admiralty. If you've got a boom on a ship that's unloading cargo and putting it on the dock, if a worker on the ship got injured, that would be an admiralty lawsuit. However, if the worker is on the land and gets injured by the boom, that is not a maritime case.
Yeah.
And, there's a bunch of decisions on that. And for people to come along and right now to assert, I've found a wild secret here. Did you know that everything is admiralty? That is a invalid argument.
Well, tell folks, Larry, why these brilliant scholars of the law have concluded that admiralty is the law that's being applied by all the courts.
Well, what I have seen, this gets around to you know, the cases that say, you know, listen to me. Don't laugh. And this is something you brought up earlier in the course of this program. You know, there are maritime crimes. You know, if you're out on the high seas and, you know, somebody is killed or there's a murder, that is a criminal case. Or somebody is out on the ocean, you know, and they get injured or hurt, you know, like out on a Louisiana offshore drilling rig. That's a ship.
Master has specific powers over that. That's absolutely. The master has a terrific amount of power once they hit international waters.
Right. But, you know, to say that there are tort cases that are maritime cases, to say that there are criminal cases that are maritime cases, to say that there are contract cases that are maritime, to draw the conclusion from those premises, everything, all crimes, all torts, all contract matters are maritime, that is just absolutely ludicrous.
Yeah.
And, but you know, to me, that's what they're doing. You know, they're just there are maritime cases that exist. Everything is maritime. That's ludicrous.
What really kills me though is that the way that they establish that it's maritime is that many of the flags displayed in courtrooms, you know, that are decorating the courtroom, are flags that sport a yellow fringe. Now, the same thing happens whenever I've been to restaurants that have a flag in the meeting rooms, or hotels that have meeting rooms that sport flags.
I'm sorry to interrupt there. We got a break. Our guests are attorney Larry Decraft and attorney Tom Pryor. And we still have one more segment, so hang in there with us. And we're trying to show you the proper way. We'll be right back. Thanks for joining us.
Frank Talk, 104.3 FM, the Mid-State News Talk and Sports Radio Station.
Fox News Radio. I'm Ron Flatter. The days appear to be numbered for the government's ban on openly gay service in the military.
It's one thing to volunteer to fight for your country. It's another to volunteer to fight for the right to fight for your country. Not many people do that. Not many people would go through the indignity and the abuse that they have had.
Democratic Congressman Barney Frank, himself openly gay, before the House voted this week to end the ban. Today, the Senate is expected to follow suit over Republican objections that this will create untimely distractions in the middle of two wars. A White House call to keep Russian weapons in check. President Obama today urging the Senate to pass a new START treaty.
Without a new treaty, we'll risk turning back the progress we've made in our relationship with Russia, which is essential to enforce strong sanctions against Iran, secure vulnerable nuclear materials from terrorists, and resupply our troops in Afghanistan.
The president in his weekly multimedia message, but Republicans who don't want more restrictions on the U.S. military appear to have the votes to block passage of the treaty today. Beating today's deadline, the Senate decides last night to pass the House's temporary spending plan to keep the government running at least another 4 days. This comes after a long-term trillion-dollar omnibus budget is rejected this week in the Senate.
This spending snowstorm was nearly 2,000 pages long. It combined 12 separate appropriation bills that were never debated or amended on the Senate floor.
Senator John Cornyn of Texas in the Republicans' weekly speech. Also due for consideration in the Senate today, the DREAM Act that would grant citizenship to thousands of qualifying but undocumented immigrants. Many proponents concede that they probably don't have the votes to pass it. The DREAM Act, however, was approved earlier this week by the House. Procedural votes are coming in a matter of maybe 2 hours. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
They're compelling true stories of real American heroes. I'm Oliver North. Now, just in time for Christmas, the full collection of the award-winning Fox News series War Stories on DVD. Choose from over 90 episodes that honor the brave men and women who served our country and fought for our freedom. From World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today's heroes in Iraq and Afghanistan, these chronicles of courage make great Christmas gifts. Go to foxnews.com/warstories to get yours now.
Every day, more people wake up with America's number one morning news show. Breaking news you need to know, guests you have to see, and stories that have everyone talking. Steve, Brian, and Gretchen, the fair and balanced news team more Americans trust.
You get news like you don't see it on other channels.
We have a conversation with America.
The difference with Fox and Friends is that we also bring you tons of fun, and you're just not going to find that anywhere else.
Weekdays, wake up to Friends. Wake up to Fox and Friends, only on Fox.
No ruling yet, but the disputed U.S. Senate race in Alaska has gone to the state Supreme Court.
Attorneys for GOP candidate Joe Miller told the justices that elections workers did not follow state law in considering which write-in ballots to count, that only those ballots where the candidate's name is written correctly should have counted. But lawyers for Lisa Murkowski, the incumbent who ran a write-in campaign and has already declared victory, say Miller's denying reality and that the math doesn't work in his favor anyway. An assistant attorney general called Miller's reading of the law absurdly strict, that voter intent had to be considered to reflect the will of the people. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News Radio.
European travel right now snarled by heavy snow. Airports in London are shut down, stranding this traveler more than 100 miles away in Bristol, England.
We were supposed to be going to London today to see my sister and her husband and their children, but there's no way we're going to get there now, so we've got to stay here, haven't we? And miss our Christmas lunch in London.
Delays and cancellations also in France, Germany, Holland, and Denmark. Even trains having trouble getting through the storm. Haugesund Airport on the west coast of Norway has also been closed, but not because of weather. A suspicious piece of luggage was left behind in one of the bathrooms in the gate area. It was discovered late last night. Bomb experts arriving from Oslo will investigate. Three words if you're on a diet. Don't log on.
Computers may be food for thought, but eating food at your computer should not be on your startup menu. People who eat lunch at the computer chow down twice as many snacks later on compared to those who don't. Some of this is about distraction. Forget what you're doing at one meal can lead to a hike in food intake later. But the research at the University of Bristol takes it one step further, suggesting an impact on memory. And that, they say, affects appetite. Bill Vitka, Fox News Radio.
Not a whole lot of movement yesterday on Wall Street. Stocks were mixed. Dow Industrials lost all of 7 points, but for the week gained 82 points. The S&P 500 reached another 2010 high. I'm Ron Flatter, Fox News Radio.
Frank Talk, 104.3 FM, the Mid-State News Talk and Sports Radio Station.
Now live from coast to coast and around the globe, more real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the final segment of the Freedom Above Fortune radio show. We had a two-for-one deal today, attorney Larry Beecraft and attorney Tom Cryer. And last hour we were talking about Obamacare and the recent ruling declaring a portion of it unconstitutional. Also talked about it briefly in this hour. And then we've moved into arguments that some people are touting as get-out-of-jail-free cards when dealing with the IRS. And gentlemen, I'm hoping we could bring a few of these that you've heard about rather than dwelling on just one or two. Another one is this 1099 OID. That seems to be a popular one out there, and we see some nightmares occurring because of it. Who'd like to take a swing at what that's about and why people should avoid it?
There was on another network, a man by the name of Dr. Sam Kennedy, and Mr. Cryer and I first learned about him in January of 2008. He was running around talking about, oh, in a criminal case that they had, you know, they had pulled these, you know, fantastic maneuvers in court. Like, you know, he was hot into the admiralty issue at that time. You know, go into the court and claim the court for yourself or whatever. It was something along those lines. Mr. Cryer, do you remember what that was?
Oh, yeah. One of his students, he reported a victory. That one of his students who had been arrested for failure to appear was presented to the court in cuffs, and he just stood up and demanded of the court to know by what right do you come before me. And the judge cowered, and he couldn't come up with a good excuse or a reason that he had to come before this defendant. And so the defendant ordered the marshals to arrest the judge, and the judge fled from the courtroom to avoid arrest by the marshals, only a few minutes later to stick his head in the doorway, in the door real quick, and holler, "Case dismissed," and slam the door. And then the marshals all lined up. They uncuffed him and lined up to get, you know, kiss his hand and beg his forgiveness. And so when I challenged the guy, I said, "Well, tell me what the name of the court was and the name of the case and the date that this occurred so I can verify it." And I'd already predicted before I did that that he was going to say that the records had been purged. He suddenly announced within 24 hours that all of the records of his successful cases had been purged out of the records, and that even the numbers that were assigned to them ceased to exist. For some reason or other, he just skipped the number that assigned some other case that number retroactively somehow, and that there was a major conspiracy to keep him from being able to establish the proof of his victories. But he got off onto this straw man thing, Larry, and you're the real authority on the redemption thing, and probably could do it a lot quicker than I can.
Well, the redemption process was started by a car thief by the name of Roger Elvick and two of his buddies, Dave Dreamer and Gene Keating, back in 1999. They had this theory that the Social Security Act of 1935 had accounts for it in the name of every American. And there was a public side to this account and a private side to this account. And this involved the names and caps argument that every American had an account at the Treasury Department in his names and caps, rather than the name. That was a fictitious person. This, if your name is spelled Joe Bannister, all in capital letters, that's your straw man, Joe, as opposed you're the real individual, capital J, small letters O-E, capital B, small A. There's a difference between the capitalized party and a non-capitalized party. So they said that, what you had to do if you wanted to access your funds in this account, that you could write, once you recaptured your straw man using UCC procedures, then that would give you access to these oodles of funds on the private side of your Treasury Direct account. You could go out and buy cars and TVs by issuing a hot check drawn on a non-existent account that was payable by the Treasury of the United States. Of course, that got a whole bunch of people into trouble, indicted. Incidentally, the same people that have promoted that years ago, I listened to a tape of some program, about 2 weeks ago, and there was this fellow by the name of Winston Trout that was on this program that was spouting the same thing all over again. But at the time that Tom and I were listening to this Dr. Sam Kennedy in January of 2008, what was hot was, you go and file these fake 1040 forms that claim that a whole bunch of money has been withheld from you pursuant to some 1099 OIDs, which is an IRS form, 1099, for reporting interest and dividends. But you have all this money that's withheld from you, so you can reclaim it. And, of course, a whole bunch of people did this 1099 OID tax returns, and, of course, Cryer and I were sitting there saying, "Don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. It's going to get you in trouble." And sure enough, about a year and a half ago, there was this Seth Sundberg who had followed this advice of Dr. Sam Kennedy. He had submitted tax returns, and he got back $5 million, through his fake return. And when he was arrested by the IRS agents, he had $3 million in cold hard cash in his car. And, of course, now they're looking for the other $2 million. But, they prosecuted that guy. He copped a plea in January of last year, and he's been sentenced to, 72 months. So, there's a lot of people out here like Dr. Sam Kennedy. And, of course, Mr. Cryer and I don't even know that Dr. Sam Kennedy is his real name. We think that's a fake.
There's no record of his existence up until, about 2 years ago at all. And then all of a sudden he's vanished. And, tell the story about how his methods worked in a case I was involved in?
Oh, you tell them.
Real quick, I had a case in Monahans, Texas. The case was in Austin. And this gentleman was looking for a sure way out of an indictment. And he had been following some of the snake oil that was out there. He had filed bills of exchange against his straw man to pay off the bill, the tax bill. Pay it with the money you got hidden away from me. And Sam Kennedy decides to come to his rescue. And what he does is he prepares for this gentleman a resignation as trustee for his straw man that he had reclaimed control over. And said, since the defendant isn't me, the defendant is my straw man because you named him in all caps, then and I'm resigning as his trustee, then I really don't have anything further to do with this case. See ya. I told him, if you do that, I'm not going to, I don't want anything more to do with this case. If you do that, they're going to revoke your bond. You're going to go to jail. Well, he did it. And I'm on my way home. I'm getting some girl food for Dee Dee, you know, stopping off and getting a takeout order. And my cell phone rings. And I can almost not understand the guy on the phone. He's crying. Now, this is a former Green Beret. He's crying because he had just come within an inch of going to jail and having his bond revoked. If it hadn't been for a PD happened to be in the courtroom and stepped up and agreed to help him out, that's exactly what would have happened, and begging me to take him back. Well, we took him back. We structured a very favorable outcome. But this is the kind of garbage that they're out there selling. And what they're doing is they're hurting people. They're totally discrediting somebody where his credibility is his only defense. And they're just putting him in harm's way. And they actually enjoy doing that. They take a great deal of satisfaction from doing that. That's what resigning and walking away, leaving a straw man twisting in the wind in court, got this gentleman. So, yeah, go ahead.
These people,
you
Tom?
Think that some of this stuff is a silver bullet? Go ahead, try it. Let me know how it turned out.
How do they find these people, Tom and Larry? I mean, do they literally watch court dockets and go, oh, well, here's a case, and meanwhile you're trying to...
They like disciples are all over the place. And if you raise any of these issues with them, what happens, Larry?
Well, you know, these people that will say, you know, come over here, I'll prepare these pleadings for you. You that will
was a case that we could have won. I mean, this was a case where the guy was innocent because he really truly believed. I don't have time to cover the whole story, but the point is that he was in a guaranteed kill for this. All you have to do is to find your lawyers. Now, Larry was representing him, and he had a local counsel as well. And I was advising and consulting. And for value, files this acceptance for value, and of course nothing happens. Well, the guy says, oh, don't worry, we got a reserve shoot. It, I guarantee you this will work. You know, whenever you get in there, just ask every witness one question. Do you have a claim against me? And then sit down. And he said, well, at the end of it, the judge is going to have to dismiss everything. See? 50 months, didn't he get that?
Yep, 5 years.
Now, this character who had talked him into doing that
was a close friend.
Was a good friend of his. Now, this friend of his starts writing lingering notes where he is actually giddy. He is gleeful. About the fact that I stopped you lawyers from getting another one off with your trickster stuff, yada yada. This is one you won't get an acquittal for, ha ha. And he was actually ecstatic that his close friend was going to prison for 60 months, was going to lose everything he had. You know, everything that he owned and had built up over his lifetime was gone. And he was ecstatic about it because he actually exercised some control over somebody. And look, at they even he stepped off the cliff just because I said so. Ha, 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 look how powerful and...
Yes. Afternoon, can you do it?
Let's talk on Skype. Meanwhile, our guests have been Attorney Larry Beecraft and Attorney Tom Cryer. Go to agentfortruth.com to link to their sites, and we'll see y'all next week. Thanks for joining us. Bye.